was nothing like worshiping the Lord. Sure was not. Praise God. So wonderful to come and worship the Lord. And we do give everyone a warm welcome tonight into our service. And we just thank the Lord for His mercy and for His grace. And I sent a message out today just to let everyone know. Brother Brian Feeborn, the church in Adelaide, has paid for our rent here for the next 6 months. So we really appreciate that. And we thank the Lord for it. And everything just worked out to get this building. And I never asked anything about paying rent or anything. I just told Brother Brian I'd found a building and what did he think, and he said, go and get it. And before God, another man came to me and said, you're going to get one. So we're here anyhow, praise God, and it's somewhere we can meet and worship the Lord, and we could appreciate the Orange Halls, but we don't know when we could get back in, and we could wait a long time, and but we just thank the Lord we can come in here tonight and fellowship. And it's not the same when you can't get together and sing, sure it's not, and pray and seek the Lord. There's something about an atmosphere, and when God's people come together and pray and worship, it creates an atmosphere, praise God. Now I just want to talk a bit about the Holy Spirit tonight, and I won't try and keep you as long. I want to give some time for prayer as well, but do pray for the services on Sunday morning. I want to continue what I preached last Sunday morning and pray for the service, and then we'll be, have another service again in the evening as normal. That goes out live. There's a lot of people watching in live. So I want to keep at least one service live for those that watch in, maybe in different countries and different things. We have relatives that you'd be surprised that's watching in, that are not saved, and they're watching into the meetings. And they estimate that on the church website there's about 100 watches in, and that's not counting the Facebook what's been watching in. And it's quite remarkable, you know, over the lockdown there's almost about 60,000 people that's been on the website. And all the sermons and everything's on there. So pray for the services then. Monday night coming, Brother Guy will be preaching in Market Hill on Thursday night. Monday night and Thursday night in Market Hill, if you're free, please come along and support a Brother Gary and pray for Brother Gary that people will get saved and God will touch people over in Market Hill. And just pray that the Lord will have His way. Then next Sunday, Brother John's going to be preaching. Not this Sunday morning, but the following Sunday. And we just want God to move and God to have His way. And appreciate it as well. You know, it's the brothers that preach us normally sometimes in the services haven't had that chance with the lockdown. So we're glad. There's many things we're glad for, that we can have a place to come and worship and meet the Lord. Praise God. And you know, the lockdown is 5 months. I know it doesn't seem like it, 5 months from we've come together for a service as in a room. Praise God. Now the drive-ins was good as well. Praise the Lord. Now I want to talk tonight about the Holy Spirit. And many, many years ago, three men took me in a room and they just let me about the Holy Ghost. And they were all for certain denomination that don't believe in the baptism of the Spirit. And many of them denominations are like what I said on Sunday. They preach I was, not I am. I believe in I am. And they tried to doctrinate me. They tried to tell me that I didn't need the Holy Spirit. I've been to some Pentecostal meetings with my Uncle John here, and I saw the Spirit of God moving. I sensed the Spirit in these men. I used to go amongst them, and they took me in, and boy, they gave me the works. And I really mean it. And I was very young. I didn't know the Bible. I hadn't had experience at that time with the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you that many years later, after the Lord delivered me in the jail, and I met of God, and He filled me with the Holy Ghost, I met one of them men. And I can assure you, I didn't miss him. And I'll tell you the truth, I got into the car beside him when I seen him. And he's a good age of a man, he's a lot older than me. And I told him, I said, you remember the night that you and two of your cohorts away from the Holy Spirit. And he didn't want to know much about it, but I made him know all about it. And I gave him one verse, Acts 2:39. The promise is unto you, and to your children, and to them that is afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You cannot come if God never called you. But if God called you, that's why you came. Now you might have heard a preacher and said, I come, that was still God calling you. You might have read a tract and said, I come, that was still God calling you. It is God that does the calling. No man seeks God, God seeks man. And therefore, if God has called us, the Holy Spirit is a promise to each and every one of us. And there is an experience of the baptism of the power of the Holy Spirit. And many Christians today do not believe in it. They never seek God for it. They believe I received all when I got saved. And they did, they got saved. And the Spirit moved them. But there's a baptism of the Spirit. There's a filling of the Holy Spirit. There's an endowment of power with the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, the Bible's full of it. Praise God. And you know, we don't take some man's idea for it. Our authority must be the blueprint, and the blueprint is the book of Acts, the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, we've got to read, let us read Acts 2, and I'm excited already, I can't help it. Praise God. I shouldn't really apologize for getting excited, I should get excited more. That's what's wrong with a lot of Christians today. We need the joy. We need the joy back. And you know, when Philip went down to Samaria, the Bible says demons come out crying out in loud voices, and there was great joy. Praise God. You're being seated tonight. Let's read Acts 2. And let me read you from verse 14 down to 18 of Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and the scripture for it is Joel 2, verse 28. If you want to mark the scriptures down, Joel 2, verse 28 is the scripture Peter quotes. Now you know here immediately that something has happened upon Peter, because this is the same Peter that denied the Lord three times. But remember that Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Then he said, tell them in another place, but when you are converted, you will strengthen your brethren. Praise God. And here we see that Peter has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only is Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, but Peter takes them to the Word of God. He doesn't take them to a church theology or a church theory or the general overseer, but he takes them to the Word of God. And what we believe and preach must be in the Word of God. God's Word is our sure foundation. Praise God. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And somebody said, that's fulfilled long ago, but bless your heart tonight, we're still living in the last days. Amen. We know God poured His Spirit out at Pentecost, but there's one thing about the Spirit of God different in that top in there, or different in a jug of water. It's unceasing and it's unfailing. You cannot pour out the Spirit in a way that it uses it up. It cannot be used up in a theory. Whether it was poured out and it's done down, it's used up. That's man's idea. That's not God's word. The Spirit of God can continually come. Like the old brother Joseph Smith once said, God give us a gallon to bring us up to empty, for she's on the red. And it's so true, he said that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 18, and all my servants, listen to this, sisters as well, and all my servants and all my handmaids. Hallelujah. I will pour out my spirit in those days, saith of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise God. I tell you, when the Spirit of God comes upon a person, they can prophesy. They'll not need to go to Bible college to learn how to prophesy either. The Spirit of God will move them to do it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Verse 19, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth and blood and fire and vapor smoke. Praise God. Now the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural endowment of power from heaven to equip the Christian for the fact of witness and service. Now we can look at it, we can say we're not seeing it today. Now that might be the case, but the negative side won't give us it. If we realize that, you remember when Brother Andrew Preacher came and he said, with the lukewarm, but he says, when you realize your condition, there can be nothing done for your condition until you realize it. And if we fail or believe we're living below what this is, we need to pray that we get up to it. We need to believe God for it. How many understand what I'm saying? And I tell you, the Bible says if we being evil know how to get good gifts unto our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? We need the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. God's people need the Holy Spirit. This lockdown's really affected a lot of people. People are in fear. How many knows I'm telling you the truth tonight? And I know there's certain things we have to do, but are we believing God or not? We have to believe God. There's certain things we have to do, but bless your heart, we need to believe God. It is ultimately God that protects us. It is God that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. None of these will I put upon thee that I brought upon the Egyptian. And I said the other day, if something happens, one of us, let's believe God will heal us and kick our ass. Amen? Praise God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Joseph Smith, and he was a Enoch Pentecostal preacher. I only saw him when he was an old man, when I was a young man. But he was a wonderful man of God. But he said the same thing. I used to say it, and I couldn't remember where I got it from. Then, I think it was Brother John said to me, reminded me, it was Joseph Smith. People through the Pentecostal ranks put such an emphasis on tongues that every single person must talk in tongues. But tongues is only one of the gifts. And there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tongues is one. Now tongues is good. I believe in tongues. Paul believed in tongues. All the real men of God believed in tongues. But Joseph Smith said this, and I said, you know, when you go to a shop for a pair of shoes, you never ask for a pair of tongues. You ask for the shoes and the tongues was in them. And I tell you, on the day of Pentecost, they never said, Lord, give us tongues. They were waiting on God for the promise of Joel chapter 2. And as they waited on God for the promise of Joel chapter 2, knowing that God had said, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh, the power of God come on them. And they spoke to the people in the languages wherein they're born through a supernatural tongue. The denominational preachers today take that and they say, there you are, it was a language. So the tongues you have is not from God because that was a language. And bless your heart, that's easily answered. There's tongues of men and there's tongues of angels. And there's diverse kinds of tongues. and gifts of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I tell you, God can give you a language, but God can also operate through an unknown tongue that you will not know what's being said. Neither will the person operating for Satan understand unfruitful, but the Bible goes further and says, pray that you may interpret it. And God can give the interpretation of the tongue, and then it's equal or the same as prophesy to the church of God. And I tell you, the real thing. Now we should never throw out Praise God. Now the believers in Samaria came to believe on the Lord through Philip's preaching. So they get saved through Philip's preaching. Go to Acts 8, verse 12. Acts 8, verse 12. Then we'll read 14 to 17. But Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. They had a message to take them further. Do you hear what I'm saying? Philip's message brought them to Jesus Christ and they got saved. Now, Peter and John didn't boo-hoo Philip. They were happy with Philip. They weren't against Philip. But they had something further to bring the people what Philip didn't talk about. Now, neither did Philip condemn Peter and John because he didn't do what they were going to do. And we know Philip definitely had the Holy Ghost because demons were cast out. So he done his part. Now Peter and John's going to do their part. And that's how God works. One soul and the Lord waters, or one water, but God gives the increase. Amen. Verse 14, and when the apostles from Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto Peter and John, who when they were coming down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now they had already believed on the Lord, they had already believed on Jesus, they had received the word of God. But they hadn't got the Holy Ghost yet. Amen. And some preacher tells me they already had it, then I'm going to ask them, why then did Peter and John pray for them to get something they already had? Now let's read what also it says. Verse 15, and when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they done the water baptism right, and they still hadn't it. Amen? That's why people preach, you're not baptized, believe it and you have it. That's alright. But these fellas went further than that. There was action with the words. How many sees that? Praise God. Look at verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. Hallelujah. Look at this verse 17. And they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. And Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, and he offered them money. So he could see the power of God coming on them. Praise God. Look at verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And he goes on to tell them to repent. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. You see, if you want the Holy Spirit to talk to you, if you want the Holy Spirit to move you, listen to me what I'm telling you tonight. If you want the Holy Spirit to talk to you, if you want the Holy Spirit to move you, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit first. Now I'm not saying the Spirit can't move you and talk to you. If you've got saved, he has spoken to you. But there is a communion with the Holy Spirit that we need to endeavor to walk in, because the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We can be fine-tuned to the Holy Spirit. Praise God, and that's what we need today. Fine-tuned to the Holy Ghost, so that you can be walking somewhere and the Holy Spirit can whisper to you, go ye on over there, pray for such the one. Move on. Look at William Branham going to get his airplane, and the Spirit said, keep walking. Go on, keep walking. And he kept walking and he met nobody, and he thought, I'm going to miss my plane. And he kept on walking, and he said he walked for a long ways. And the Spirit said, keep on walking. And as he kept on walking, and then all of a sudden there was a black lady, an African lady, came out, and she said, Parson, and he stopped and took his hat off, and she she said, I've been waiting on you to come. I saw you in a dream last night. And the Lord told me, you're coming to pray for my boy. Now listen to this. Her boy had picked up a venereal disease because of the sin he lived in. But God still stopped a prophet, told him to walk down the road and give a woman a dream that he's coming that way. And that prophet went into the house, prayed for him. The young boy was almost dead. God healed him and God raised him up, and him in that condition. A sinner, not even see him, living in sin and everything, and a disease on him, and God had mercy upon him. What should God do for his people tonight? We need to believe God. Hallelujah! Somebody said that with Brother Branham, but that's where you're wrong. It wasn't. It was the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham says, I was just there when he came. Amen! That's what he would tell you. And the Holy Spirit is the same tonight. He's never changed. Glory to God. Now look at this. Ephesians, if you look at Ephesians 4:30, you're sealed. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, where you're sealed on the day of redemption. But if you look at Ephesians 1, verse 13 and verse 14, look what it says. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of his glory. So how can a man be lost after he believes and goes on and is sealed with the Spirit? He is a purchased redemption. The Lord owns you. And I'm telling you, he's coming for you. How many believe that tonight? Look at Philippians. Praise God. Philippians also, and it's verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby is able to subdue all things unto himself. God is going to change us. He's coming for us. We're going to get a body change. And while we're here, we need and we should want the Holy Spirit to fill us and to move us. Praise God. Now I'm just going to be 5 more minutes because the clock's running fast. Praise God. Look what Saul of Tarsus, how he received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 9. And if you read the story of Saul of Tarsus, now that's the man that became Paul. And that's the man that became the messenger of the first church age. But before he was converted, he persecuted the people of God. Now I tell you, so many times all of us complain about different things. But if the Holy Spirit would just come in and on the scene, that's all we'd need. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. amongst us. This man seen the Lord. Now I'm stressing this for a reason. We have believed on the Lord by faith, isn't that right? We're saved. But God actually appears to this man. The Lord Jesus appears to him in the light. And yet withal, he still hasn't got the Holy Ghost. And I heard one old boy years ago, and he took some of these scriptures and he said, the Lord deliberately withheld it from them. But that's no longer the case. And he talked a bigger load of nonsense. Because he didn't believe in the baptism himself. So he talked his way around it. I want to tell you that Paul was genuinely converted. Not only was he converted, the light he saw, the Bible says he needed to receive his eyesight. He was blind. And you'll see other fellows that teach you, Paul was very bad eyesight. And he said, that's why I write this letter to you, that more or less make out Paul's half blind. That is absolute rubbish. That's not true. That's a man's idea, what he read here, and misinterpreted the word of God. If God opens Paul's eyes and heals him, he doesn't half heal him. He healed him. And he not only healed him, he filled him with the Holy Ghost. They take it, you know, for Paul says, I write such a large letter, and they say, there you are, God, I say. How many have ever heard people preach that? They preach it. But that's not scripture. That's the man's idea that he took. Of course, I write such a large letter. They thought, the writing's big because he can't see well. But I don't believe that for 1 minute. Not for 1 minute. I don't believe that. It's the same when people preach David was a wee fellow this height. And yet with all Saul, his head and shoulders above everyone in Israel, and he gave David his armour. He must have been brave and stupid. If he knew to look at him, why would he give him his armour? See, it's the man's idea. Because they take someone and they work it out how they think that might not be the... That's why William Branham said it's revelation. It's revelation. You can receive nothing from the Word of God except the Lord reveals it to you. How many believe that tonight? And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Now hear me. Jesus says when He, the Spirit of truth, has come upon you, He will lead you into all truth. That's why we need the Holy Ghost on our lives. To lead us into truth. Look at verse 17. And Ananias went his way. And he lays his hands on him and said, Jesus, it appeared to thee in the way as thou comest and sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I know another man, he preached Paul was married. And the Bible tells you he wasn't. But this fellow preached he was. And Paul writes, I could take a sister if I wanted to and get married, but I don't. He writes that. But this fella said because he was in a certain group, he had to be married. Well, that's his idea. But there's no scripture for that. Not one verse for it. And I tell you, we cannot go off on a tangent, for there's no scripture to back it. It has to dovetail from the Word. How many believe that tonight? Amen. Into the Word of God. Do you believe when Paul got open Saul's eyes? I believe they're open. I'm not even believing tonight. Amen. Now I'm going to have to close. Give us time to pray. Praise God. Let me just read you Acts 10, verse 44 and 48. Now we can see clearly the Holy Ghost came by the laying on of hands. But you cannot make that the ultimate rule of thumb that it will come no other way. There's other ways the Holy Ghost can be received. Here's one of them. Now you can lay hands on, people can get it. But in Acts 10, verse 44 to 48, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. He fell on them. Amen? And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 40. and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized with receive the Holy Ghost as well as we? And they commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then praying for them to tarry certain days. So as he preached the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Now you'll notice in both scriptures it talks about falling. Now, I'm coming to a close. Now, if I put a bucket, how many's ever seen them? We trick people behind the door. Bucket of water. You young fellas ever seen that? You get a bucket of water or paint, and you trick somebody, and they open the door, and the bucket falls on them. That's falling on you. Now, I guarantee you, if I put a bucket of water in that door and it fell on you, you would not have to come to Brother John or Brother Mark or Brother Gary and say, do you think that water fell on me? You would never have to do it. You'd know it. You would know it because it fell on you. And the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost had not yet fallen on them. But after they received the Holy Spirit fell on them. It fell on them. And if someone falls on you, you're going to know it. And I tell you, we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit would fall on us. In a mighty way, praise God. Do you believe tonight? Amen. Praise God. We're going to come and pray. Let's remember, Claire Moss, I asked for to pray for. She had a stroke. She fell as well and broke her ankle. She broke her ankle and had a stroke. That's Dan Moss's mother. Dan's married to Sister Samantha. So let's pray for them and the Lord will really touch her tonight. Praise God. Let's come and seek the Lord for a moment tonight. We'll try and finish for 9 and we've almost half an hour, and let's just seek the Lord and let's be praying for the Holy Spirit to fall on us. Let's pray for it. Let's believe it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for the blessing of your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is the truth, it's yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the word of God. Father, I pray that you will fall upon us like the word of God says by the Spirit of Almighty God. May the Holy Spirit fall upon your people in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask this evening for Claire Moss, the Holy Spirit will visit her, that you'll heal her ankle, Father, and touch her in the name of Jesus, and Father, that you'll touch her heart and everything about her tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll give her a real touch from heaven, that you may feed your healing power upon her body in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we acknowledge our condition.